All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's Wednesday night at 8:30. Yes, folks, that means it's time for the Larcher and Lawrenson Sports Show. We're coming at you live from Lakeview in Chicago, Illinois. We're doing all right here tonight, I'll tell you that much. Bears win this week. It's always a good week when that happens. I'm going to turn it over to my friend, the man, the myth, the legendary, your host for this evening in just a second. But first, I got to mention that later on, a little bit in the show, we got a couple special treats right here in studio tonight. Our UFC guy, Cliff Hagerman's here tonight. Yes, he is.
Thank you for calling me out.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
We're also going to be calling my Seahawk fan Wes, a little bit. He's out there in the Pacific Northwest giving us his side of the whole deal. I'm going to hand it over to my good buddy, Al Archer.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another show. And tonight is going to be the greatest show in the history of sports, radio, podcasting, entertainment.
I have no doubt in that, Al.
No, we are revolutionizing the industry tonight with one of the finest programs ever. I mean, whether you're in Kirkland, Illinois, Champaign, Illinois, Rockford, Illinois, Paris, Illinois, Indianapolis, sayonara to my friends in Japan, hello to my grandmother in St. Louis. God bless everybody who's listening, and of course the wonderful people of Chicago. Tonight is the night where sports is going to happen.
It sure is, my friend Al. We got to talk about it. There's that one huge sports story that's out there right now.
Right.
It's everywhere. Everybody's talking about it. My young lady friend Lauren, she was talking about it with her gal friends at work today.
Yeah. Nobody,
the last 2 days.
After they cancel preseason hockey, nobody knows what's going on with this strike. I mean, it is devastating
to the
whole sports world.
What are we going to do without hockey? Chelios, he doesn't know what he's doing. Do you see what he's doing?
Yeah, burning jerseys.
Burning jerseys is what Chelios is up to.
That guy's a scumbag. I'll put it out there right now. You're burning Jay Cutler jerseys. You know, just because you're not relevant anymore doesn't give you the right to burn things. That's like burning an American flag if you're in this city. You do not burn a Do you remember when General Adnan and the Iron Sheik, they burnt Hulk Hogan's shirt?
I don't recall that exact instance, Al.
It started a war. It started the great war of America versus the Gulf when Hulk Hogan reclaimed the title because they burnt his jersey. But it's a shirt. It's a ripped shirt.
I can't believe that
yeah.
actually happened.
So I mean,
there's what we're referencing here. TMZ has it. There's a video out of Chris Chelios burning a Jay Cutler jersey out over at Stanley's pub over on Lincoln Avenue. There,
better than burning a Jay, man.
I guess so. Let's get to it, Al.
Well, okay.
You know we got to talk.
Yeah,
about.
I mean, there's a lot of excitement going on, and we got the MMA stuff going on. We got hockey talk, not really, but we'll just say that.
And if you'd like to get in on the action yourself, just give us a call here at 347-945-6131. 347-945-6131.
That's the way to contact us, the Larcher and Lawrenson program here. Okay, so, I mean, everybody's talking, of course, about the refs.
Sports show.
What, it's called a sports show? Sports. I'm going to write it down. Sports show. Okay, so anyways, on the sports show, we need to talk about the referee situation in the NFL, which, according to sources today, are saying it's over. But this kind of reminds me, we just went through the teacher's strike, where all of a sudden it was over, and then I'm watching Saturday Night Live, and that weasel Rahm Emanuel pops on, and next thing you know, school is off again. You remember when that happened?
Yeah. Did that they interrupted SNL?
There was a commercial during SNL that night.
I'll be darned.
Yeah. It was weird.
No, I remember the whole thing going down.
So I don't know if this union thing is that same thing, and tomorrow we're going to find out that they're, you know, things aren't right now. But according to right now, according to all sources, it looks like the refs have struck a deal, and football will return to its purity finally once again. Those scabs will be removed. And the skin will grow back, and Ed Hockley, with his superpowers, will come on the field. He'll show his muscles. He'll do a little pose, and then he'll call for a first down, and football will begin.
You know what good old Ed Hockley's been doing during the strike, right?
Yeah.
He's coordinated it. He holds weekly teleconferences.
Little pep talks.
On the old telephone. Pep talks, I'm sure.
They have quizzes. They get quizzed on rules. There's little tests on the spot. Ed Hockley's is... You know what? Right now, we're deciding in this country between Romney and Obama. Why not Ed Hockley?
All right, then.
He's a lawyer.
Let me tell you this. It's going to be great to see him out there again. Do you know that that man is the man who he practices his referee calls in front of the mirror?
Yeah, like any true professional would.
Yeah. We're going to have him back, Al. It might not be by Thursday night. Some think it might. But yeah. It's looking like Sunday.
They're saying Sunday is a good possibility.
I'm still waiting for the official word over at from the NFL. I haven't gotten the phone call yet.
But let's talk about the real reason why this happened. Well, number one, it happened because there's a lot of greed involved. But let's not talk about, I guess, the subject of the issue behind it. Let's talk about that situation that happened Monday night with Seattle and Green Bay, in which the game was blown over a bad call, but was a right call by a bad rule in the end of an end zone that stole a victory away from the green and gold of our enemies up north, the Packers. And listen, I love, you know what, if we could kick the Packers in the balls every week, I say fine. If we could steal wins, I'm all for it. But you still kind of had to feel for them a little.
I wouldn't go as far as saying that I was feeling for them so much. It was pretty apparent. Unless you're wearing what I'm calling bear goggles, which a lot of my friends had them on. I had them on for the first hour. I was like, oh, yeah, catch is a catch. Packers lose.
The Packers lost. There's nothing wrong with that.
Look at that through bear goggles. Yeah. But if that's what it took, let me tell you this. If it had to be the Packers to take that sacrifice to get to the end of this lockout, then, thank you so much, Packers, for sacrificing right there.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
They took one for the team. What I don't understand is, the media is kind of victimizing the commissioner of this league. And, our commissioner is a very tough man. He's like the sheriff out there. And he lays down the law. He tells things the way it should be, and he punishes people for what he perceives is wrong. And a lot of people question his authority. A lot of people say, well, maybe this guy's going a little far. And then all of a sudden he wants to put out the best product and the safest product,
right.
But yet he allows these criminals, these scabs who are out there, they're hunting in the woods half the year. They have no communication with people. They mail bombs to people.
Al? You lost me. It was right at the word criminals is where you lost me there.
All right. Well, these scabs are out there.
And they're just regular human beings with regular jobs.
One of them is wanted for suspicion in his wife's murder. Look it up. I'm not making that up. Criminals, my friend.
I will go with this. I have yet to confirm that. I do know that some have coached high school level only. Did you know that a couple of them couldn't make the grade in the lingerie football league?
Right.
How do you feel about that? They were on the field in that Monday night football game.
Probably because most of them are some kind of sick perverts and they got restraining orders against people in lingerie. That's probably why they had to kick them out of these leagues. I mean, how hard is it to throw a flag when a bunch of ladies are tackling each other?
We have a guy in the chat room, Todd. Todd says, I don't think the call was wrong.
Technically, the call wasn't wrong based on the letter of the law. It was just a bad call.
Wow. Bear goggles.
Yeah, a little bear goggles.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
I mean, you can... I guess the referees weren't wrong, but a regular referee wouldn't have called it. Number one, there was a pass interference on the call regardless.
Mm-hmm.
Golden Tate pushed off, and it was a clear pass interference. The NFL admitted to that mistake.
What do you think of this? The players are actually doing more. They're pushing the limits more because they know they can probably get away with it.
Right.
Right now.
It's the substitute teacher.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
You know how many times I got sent to the office? It was always when the substitute teacher was there. Maybe I went over the line a little too much.
Well, you must have had a substitute teacher that was doing a better job than these refs are doing. Well, if they sent you to the office, she penalized you.
Yeah, I got flags.
I'm just saying, yeah.
But they weren't justifiable flags. I might have been breaking the letter of the law, but it wasn't deserving of being sent down to the dean. I mean, come on. Do I look like a hoodlum? Do I look like a criminal, like these replacements?
We got a call. We got a call. You ready to take a caller?
I'll take a caller.
Linda in the screening room didn't get me any info on this caller, but he's from the 847.
Come on, Linda.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hello, 847. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. My name's Gus. I'm calling from Chicago.
Gus, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. Do you have a question for either Larger or Lawrence in here?
I do. I do. I have a question for both. A bear question, specifically. What can we expect out of Alshon Jeffery these next couple weeks? What are you thinking?
I think he's going to break 100 yards this week. If not this week, next couple weeks.
Gus, that's one hell of a question from a damn fine Bears fan. I want you to know that.
Thank you
for the question. Thank you for the call. We're going to answer it. Thank you so much, Gus.
Thank you.
I think we have to expect a lot from him because right now they found Green Bay exposed it. If you bring the zone pressure in on our Marshall, if you push him and if you hold the zone there, he's going to get beat. So they're doubling up on him. They're bringing a safety on him or they're bringing another cornerback. I mean, he's getting double coverage and he's getting press coverage. The way to beat that is with a tight end. That's how you defeat that defense. You bring in a tight end in the slot, comes up the middle, you throw the ball. It works because you're bringing your safety, you're shifting him over to the wide receiver who's going wide. The problem with that is we don't have a tight end. We got that loser who's like 7 feet tall, who can't catch a cold, who can't block worth a damn, who's a waste of a roster spot.
I believe Kellen Davis.
Yeah, Kellen Davis.
He's a big body. He touchdown catch in the first game.
He's a dude who looks like a tight end who can't play tight end. So if you don't have that, you're going to need good hands and a slot receiver, and you might have that in Alshon Jeffery, who's looked good so far. I mean, I've been impressed with him. I enjoy him.
Gus, are you still there?
I am. I'm listening. Right, I'm liking it.
That call I did.
I have one more caveat to this question.
Sure.
Over on the topic of Bears receivers. So say a genie comes along and fixes Johnny Knox's neck or spine or just whole every bone in his body tomorrow. How do they get Johnny Knox into the fold? What do they do?
First off, I'd like to find that genie to get my gallbladder back, but he's phenomenal. Not phenomenal. That's way overstating. Johnny Knox seemed to be a good talent who had a lot of speed. He had world-class speed. He seemed to have hands, and he was grasping route running. I think if you were to bring him back, I think it would be awesome because then you have Jeffrey, then you have Marshall, you have Earl Bennett, who's another good utility receiver, and then you have Johnny Knox as your number two. I would use him as my number two.
Yeah, kind of a Wes Welker type almost.
Yeah. Right.
I don't know if he's quite as good a route runner as Welker.
He's a shade different than Wes Welker.
So I'm going to answer the hypothetical. Yeah, I'd throw him in there, get him in there ahead of Hester, of course. But you got to throw Hester into the fold once in a while. That's about it.
Why? Keep the receivers on the field. Keep guys who do special teams on special teams.
Well, but you don't want to have the problem. The team doesn't want to waste the roster spot. That's the deal there. But I think Johnny Knox would be able to make it in there.
But couldn't you just get rid of Sanzenbacher if Knox came back?
Sanzenbacher hasn't been active yet, has he?
I don't think so, yeah. He would be on the practice squad or released, definitely.
Oh, he's not on. Oh, okay.
Yeah, he hasn't been active yet. They've kept him on the roster, right? On the 40-man?
I believe he is.
Yeah.
He did get a roster spot. But.
Yeah. What's your feeling about Sanzenbacher there, Gus?
You know, I don't know. Every preseason, like, people seem to have wet dreams over him, and then he disappears. You know what I mean? He's a great hype guy.
The State fans out there, and that Hurst probably puts that into everybody's mind because he's an Ohio State Buckeye.
I got to be honest. Every year when I go down to training camp, down in the old Bourbon A, we kick back, and, you know, we buy old tie-dye Cade McNown T-shirts. He's there. He catches everything. Like, he just
exactly
looks good. He looks good in training camp. He's a training camp player, but when it comes to actual field play and playing with the big dogs, he's a little thick, a big bond.
Like I feel like he's like on the fringe. If he had one good season, he would become one of those guys like Titus Young. I had a friend who is in like five different fantasy leagues, and he's just been salivating over Titus Young all preseason.
Really?
Yeah, I'm like, dude, Titus Young. And he's like, oh, look at the coverages they're going to run.
Been there, Gus.
And he's like, not good. He's a Chris Mortensen favorite, probably.
if Dane Sanzenbacher is a starting receiver on your team, you're in trouble.
I think he falls in that category where, like, Chris Mortensen will, like, gush over him in a couple of years.
Sure does. Gus, we're running low on time. Thanks for the call,
Thank
brother.
You. You're
yeah.
Awesome.
Sorry. You're... Sorry. Have a good one, guys.
Take care.
Hey, we got...
Big fan of the show.
All
Big
right.
Big fan of the show.
Dude.
Bye.
We got in the wings here, but can I ask you a personal question?
Ask me?
Yeah. Can I get your opinion on something? Because I'm having a little problem at work. Every Tuesday, the cleaning lady comes in, okay? And in my neighborhood, all the cleaning ladies, they're Polish ladies. And this one's pretty damn good looking. Like, she's, I mean, you know, 35.
All right.
Nice body. She's always in, like, tight jeans. And she looks good. And I think maybe it's just that whole cleaning lady fantasy that helps make her look even hotter. But the problem is, you know, every morning I come in and I got to take an Al Franklin. You know what I mean? I got to do my morning business.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm there, unfortunately.
So I'm always worried because I don't want to do that and then have her go in there and clean. So I try to hold off, but it's like one of the last things she cleans. So inevitably, every time I end up, I can't hold it anymore because I don't have a gallbladder. My referees are still on strike, if you know what I mean. I go in the washroom. I got to do my thing. But then, like, I feel bad because then I realized, like, this time I checked. I looked through the building. I thought she was gone. I did that. I went through every door. She wasn't there. The only place I didn't check was the lady's bathroom. So I get out of doing the Al Franken, and as I'm leaving, she's coming out of the woman's washroom. So now I know she's going to the men's washroom, and it's a bad situation because it's a low-flow toilet. So basically, the cargo is dropped off. It's soaking its toes in the water, if you know what I mean.
Hang it. Do you like this gal?
Yeah. I mean, like, sure, there's a cleaning lady fantasy definitely going through my head when I see her there. But now it's ruined, right? I mean, it's over. It's over. There's nothing I could have done. Right? It's over.
Yeah, it's over. But you know what's not over? This sports show, Al.
Oh, you want to get back to sports?
The Larcher and Lawrence in sports show is not over. We got Cliff Hagerman here.
Nice.
Cliff Hagerman is in the house with us. Cliff, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. What's up, guys? How are you guys doing?
We're doing, man. We're besides some situations at work.
I get the feeling that Clark is actually maybe doing a little bit better than you are today.
Yeah.
I'm feeling better today.
No cleaning lady problems at the Lawrenson house?
Not a cleaning lady problem.
No, other problems for sure. Well, Cliff is an expert in MMA.
Yeah, actually, I saw your post on Facebook. It was linked up to my page. When I heard there was an expert in the show, I was hoping that meant, like, there was going to be somebody besides me.
Somebody to talk to?
Yeah, maybe. I wouldn't say I'm an expert, but I'm a fan, and yeah.
Yeah,
well, that's
why
you're here.
You know the biz. I mean, have you fought yourself?
Yeah. I had my first MMA fight 10 years ago, so I've been around the sport.
Oh, my God. That's when, like, nice. Dinosaurs were fighting.
You won yourself a couple? Won yourself a couple battles? Yeah.
One more than I lost, but nothing to, you know, nothing to write home to mom about.
Did you ever break anybody's legs or any broken noses? Or
My own, mostly.
Yeah. Oh, that's a shame. That's so good. Because mixed martial art has come a long way. I remember when I was a kid, they used to have, I think they were basically UFCs.
Yeah, it was UFC. It was 1993. It first got started. It was style versus style. Athletic Commission was not involved at all.
Right.
Yeah.
I remember because we would get the video. We'd go to Family Video and we'd rent one, and then we'd wager on who we thought we would win.
How could you not? You got that logo. You got the big bald guy
right.
with arms raised. He's all super muscular. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll never forget a match between a sumo wrestler and a kung fu guy.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Basically, he just kicked him in the fat guy in the head. The fat guy went down, and that was it.
That was the first match ever, actually.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that. Wow. So,
Melitui versus Gerard Gordeaux. I'm actually...
now he's officially an expert.
Yeah.
Now you're an expert.
Yeah,
and
nobody knew what was going to happen, and then Gerard Gordeaux comes out and kicks Teletui in the face. Tooth goes flying in the audience, and that was the birth of the
sport.
But... thank God for us. We've come a long way.
Definitely.
We've come a long way since. The Athletic Commission is involved now. Dana White took over. He's grown the sport, and now it is what it is today, legitimate.
Is he the best thing that happened to MMA?
Man, you know, I honestly feel that if Dana White wasn't around, the sport would not have the popularity it did today, and it would have died out.
Before, I mean, Hoist Gracie, was that? He was like the guy.
Hoist was the guy. Actually, the Gracie family.
They fondled each other's backs as they came to the ring. I remember that.
Might have been a little tickling going on. But, no, the Gracie family actually brought the UFC over to the States. They've been doing Vale Tudo in Brazil for years, and they brought the sport over to showcase Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. They had their own martial arts style, and they believed it to be the most effective in combat. And so they literally brought the UFC over as a commercial for their Jiu-Jitsu Academy.
Wow.
And it was, it was a great business move for them, but obviously, you know, now the sport's progressed, and
sure.
we are where we are today.
And you're going to have to explain that a little bit to me. I mean, virtually every sport started as some sort of, I mean, money fuels everything in the beginning, and that's obviously, I mean, the Packers were literally Packers, and the Bears were,
sure,
you know, the Staleys. How does it work? Is it any way like NASCAR where fighters are sponsored?
I don't really know how NASCAR works, Al. I'm from Georgia.
I thought everybody
you know
from
NASCAR.
Georgia.
Come on, Cliff. Hey, man, we're trying
really?
To keep up my, you know.
Wow, that just...
No, I have nothing against... Let me just preface this by saying I have nothing against NASCAR.
Well, that just ruined it on many levels, because number one, I thought that stereotype was true. And number two, I know nothing about NASCAR, so this analogy really isn't going to work really well.
All right, well, tell me your analogy. I'll tell you if in my head it's
all
accurate.
All right, I believe in NASCAR, the way it kind of works is a group of investors put a lot of money into a car and a driver, and they throw their logos all over it. They get sponsors to help make money for the investors, and it's basically rich people kind of showing off with the best that they could put together. Where the NFL is more where it's a league commissioned by one governing body where the teams are all owned together and everybody's on the same page.
Right. No, I get that. It's nothing like NASCAR, actually. If you put NASCAR like that, and that is the same image that I have in my head with the sponsorship and everything. You know, MMA right now is still pretty tough on the athletes. You know, you have all these different schools around the world that produce fighters. You know, they rack up a few wins on the small level professional circuit, and then they get in the UFC, they get the call to come to the big show. Now, all these guys are under different privatized gyms,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they're training there, and they're not being sponsored. I mean, these are guys that have full-time jobs, maybe,
yeah.
you know, other obligations, yet, you know, they still have to train for their sport and train for their job. And they usually, they actually have to pay their gym per fight. So essentially
wow.
what happens is they train, they have a fight in the UFC, UFC pays them, and then they give a percentage back to their gym.
Wow. That's – yeah, and that feels strange to a sports fan.
Yeah, sure.
You know, and I mean, I think that's one of the problems it's having expanding to just the average Joe is kind of understanding who these guys are and where they come from. The UFC as a unit, how many people are on the roster at a time?
Oh, man, hundreds. I mean, hundreds.
Hundreds?
You know, you have hundreds of fighters because, I mean, especially now, you know, they had the deal with Spike TV last year. Now they're with FX, and, you know, they're having more shows more frequently.
Mm-hmm.
So before, when you had a pay-per-view every 3 months, now you have an event sometimes every weekend of the month. You know, and a few might be free, one or two might be free, might be on FX or Fuel TV, and then they'll have two pay-per-views.
I guess what I'm trying to understand is, like, the lifespan of let's say, not the average scrub. I'm sure the average scrub, just like the NFL, it doesn't last very long. Like, if you actually took the
sure.
stats of everybody, the average UFC fighter is what, probably a year?
Guys that actually make it to the UFC?
Yeah.
Yeah, a year, probably less.
But when they go from, let's say they have one pay-per-view a month, how many fights are on the pay-per-views?
How many fights are on the pay-per-views? Around 15.
15,
yeah.
Okay.
So you're talking about 30 fighters per card, give or take.
How many guys, basically what I'm trying to get to is, how many stars are there from that you're going to see the same guys basically from month to month, or that doesn't work because they need time between
fights? Yeah,
they need
time to recover between fights.
I
usually
see.
The typical UFC fighter is going to have between 2 and 3 fights per year.
Okay.
That's what they're looking at. And in regards to your question with, like, how many stars?
Yeah.
You know, some weight classes are deeper than others. You know, for example, this past Saturday, we just had the first ever flyweight title fight in the UFC. That's 125 pounds. Okay, so we're talking smaller guys, and that's the they just introduced this weight class to the UFC. So you're talking about another, you know, who knows how many. I mean, I don't know off the top of my head how many are on their roster right now, but you're talking potentially 20, you know, 20, 30 fighters, whatever, on that roster for that weight class alone that just started.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of like adding more spots to the team, you know?
And is there are there multiple titles? I mean, obviously per weight class there's a title.
Yeah, per weight class, and that's the only ones. You know, back when UFC first started, they used to have a super fight champion, a tournament champion,
yeah,
all that stuff. But, you know, I think Dana is doing a good job. He's trying to make the sport more legit, and he's simplifying it, and there's going to be, you know, one title per weight class.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot less than boxing, too. I think boxing gets a little confusing. I'm a combat sports fan, but you have so many different federations, so many different titles.
Right.
You know? I mean, I don't know how pro wrestling was.
Yeah. Well, it's basically one company.
I do know the match you were talking about earlier, though, with the Iron Sheik.
Yeah. Thank you.
I was paying attention.
Thank you.
I was tracking.
Appreciate that. I'm glad one person knew.
Hey, it's all right.
I can't believe Clark didn't know, to be honest.
All right, so here's the deal. I have a caller, and our screener, Linda, our screener, she must have taken a step out.
Oh, come on.
Probably
again?
Drinking the sauce out in the car. She does that quite often. But let's take the call. Right now we are taking calls for Cliff for UFC for us.
Linda, reminiscing.
Thanks for letting me know. Butler.
Join in on the conversation, if you will.
Yellow.
Hello, caller from the 540.
Yeah, this is Joe Green.
Joe Green, we know.
What's
Joe
going on,
Green.
Joe?
How you doing?
How's it going, fellas?
Not bad, man.
Not bad. How you doing, sir?
Oh, I'm doing great. Just relaxing.
You know, Al and I lost you the other day.
You know, speaking of cage fights, I heard you might have had a little cage experience.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, maybe. You know, we'll keep that off the airways.
All right.
But,
do that. Caller, did you have a question, caller?
I do have a question. I'm going to bring up the Raiders. Do you think that they just got lucky against the Steelers, or do you think that momentum is going to keep coming? We have a big matchup against the Broncos on Sunday, and that's a division game. As far as the stats go with the Steelers, I feel like we got outplayed across the board with some just really key turnovers and stuff like that. But what do you guys think of Palmer kind of stepping up and doing his job? And
Joe, have you ever sat on maybe an L train or some other form of motorized vehicle and you heard Browns fans talking about their team? Cleveland Browns
no.
fans? Yeah. That's kind of what it feels like talking about the Raiders. I mean,
yeah,
really
I know.
Big relevant in 100 years. The old man just croaks. Everybody's hoping for something new there.
One's Al Brown, the other one's Al Davis. It's all the same Al's. And
yeah.
Those Al's give you a heck of a name, Al.
I know. Al's are all trouble.
Joe, I honestly think that Manning's going to have his real breakout game of the season. Seems like Oakland's been giving up some points. Well, on the fantasy side of things, seem like they've been giving up points to quarterbacks sneakily, even in the victory. So I think Peyton might have that opportunity to have his coming out party with this game. And unfortunately, I think that means the Broncos are going to take this one.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm seeing happen.
Joe,
well,
the Broncos, the Raiders might be an 8-8 team. Which you should be proud. If they do 8-8, you should be proud of yourselves.
I agree.
For sure. For sure. They have a tough schedule, and I think they're traveling more miles than any other NFL team this year, and that's gotta mean something for those guys.
Yeah, like the Cleveland Browns, they have a lot of excuses, too. And it's just that teams have excuses. And listen, I've been a Bears fan my whole life. I was there during the Wannstedt years, the Geron years, the end of the Dicka era, the beginning of the Lovey era. So I know. I've seen a lot of, like, four win teams, and it's tough, and you hold on to hope and you make a lot of excuses, but in the end, football's football and traveling shouldn't matter all that much.
Yeah, especially with those West Coast teams. I mean, they're gonna have to travel anyway.
Joe, did you have before we let you go there, do you have a question for Cliff, for our UFC guy?
Actually, I don't. I do not. I don't, man.
I covered it all.
You did. You guys, that was pretty in-depth there.
Thank you so much for the call, Joe.
Yeah, no problem. Sorry, I might have called in on the wrong time for the wrong subject. But
no, Joe, there's no wrong
time.
Never
a wrong time. Every time is the right time.
Folks, calling in here at the Larger and Lawrenson Show is always welcome. Again, that number is 347-945-6131.
Everything is good for Joe. God bless the Raiders.
347-945-6131 at Larcher Lawrenson on the Twitter. Find us / Larcher Lawrenson on the Facebook. Joe Green, again, thanks for the call, brother.
Hey, thank you, guys.
So I guess we should find out, now that I've spent an hour.
That's what you're doing.
I'm a pro, come on.
I'm surprised you could read my writing.
I wanted to spend some time actually kind of learning the sport, so I have an idea of what I'm talking about. There's a lot of rubes like me out there who don't have a clue.
Man, it's still, you know, it is still fairly new, and we are working out the bugs, you know, I'm not doing shit, but, you know.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
You know, they're still trying to work out the bugs of the sport, and that's one of the things that I think makes it so exciting is it is such a new sport. You know, we're going to get to see the greats coming along. You know, we're going to get to see, you know, the Muhammad Ali's, Joe Louis.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to get to see those guys coming up. So I think it's pretty exciting.
Well, that's true. It's so fresh. We're on the cutting edge of it. One of the issues, I know you wanted to talk about this, plaguing it right now, is, and I heard some of this on the radio the other day. There was basically a fight, but somebody got hurt. And because somebody's hurt, they can't fight. So how do you sell it? How do you market it? Everything collapses.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, when these guys put so much time in planning an event, funding an event, you know, and you're talking about fighters taking training camps, mm-hmm. they, you know, they invest money in themselves for these fights as well. You know, it's a shame, but the big thing plaguing the UFC right now is injuries. Guys are getting hurt and can't go on the cards.
Who was the big one here, the one that shut it down?
You got to be talking about Dan Henderson versus Johnny Bones Jones.
And what's the story there for our listeners that haven't been paying attention to UFC?
Dan Henderson accepted a fight with the champ, the light heavyweight champ, Johnny Jones.
Yeah.
This guy's starting to be considered, you know, the potential to be the greatest in the sport or one of the greatest in the sport.
Bones Jones.
Yeah, Johnny Bones Jones. And, you know, I think it's a little early to call him the greatest of all time because we haven't been around that long.
I find it also a statement, though, that you're saying that. Like, that's still a statement saying.
A lot
I think
of
it's
people
early
are
to say
that.
That.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's a great fighter. I think he has great potential. I think, you know, he shows phenomenal athleticism. So Dan Henderson is accepting a fight with John Jones. Fight's going to happen. It's going to be John Jones' toughest test to date. Hardest fight to date by far. Dan Henderson blows his knee out about a week before the fight,
right.
2 weeks before the fight.
Wow.
8 days, Dana White gets the call, says, hey, man, I'm not going to be able to fight. So, you know, you got two parts to this problem. One, they got to find a last-minute replacement for a championship bout.
Yeah.
Okay, they're selling a main event based on this fight. You know, they're selling the card based on this fight. And you got to find a last-minute replacement. Couldn't do it.
So, okay, we know Johnny Bones or Johnny Jones is very dangerous, but Dangerous Dan Henderson, how good was he? Like was
Dangerous
this,
Dan, Hollywood Dan.
Was this like a big fight? Was Dan guy who could beat him?
Yeah, a lot of the hardcore fans wanted to see that fight. You know, Dan is literally Olympic caliber wrestler. He's been in the sport a long time. He has what, you know, the hardcore fans like to call the H-bomb. Okay, that's his overhand right, and if he lands it, you know, you'll wake up a couple days later. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, one of the big gripes with John Jones is that he hasn't really been tested. You know, he's fought a lot of great guys that were great guys, you know, 5 years ago.
Right.
So he's fighting guys that are past his prime, so, you know, he looks really promising, but you know, you wonder how he's going to do with some new blood in there.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Henderson is one of those guys that just seemed dangerous. Like, that could have been a bad fight for him. So a lot of guys wanted to see it. Falls through the cracks, and, you know, and this was, you know, Dana White blamed John Jones 100% for the cancellation of that entire card.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think John Jones could have saved the card, but, you know,
it's not his job to.
Dana White built the card in the first
place. Right, right.
And if there were other, quote, stars on the card, maybe it could have continued. But, you know, and Dana doesn't do the matchmaking, Joe Silva does, but, you know, it was a weaker card. That was the only real draw they had. Once it doesn't happen, boom, the event's canceled. Guess what? That's never happened in the UFC history before.
Wow.
So it was a big deal. A
lot of lost money.
Lots of money gone.
Yeah, right? Absolutely, man. I mean, you had fighters, and this is funny. John Jones is one of the guys with the most talent, yet he's the least liked. You actually had other fighters that were supposed to fight on that UFC card tweeting John Jones and saying, hey, you owe me $10,000 for what I invested in my training camp.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, like the other fighters on the card. So you would
what crybaby?
The thing was, the other fighter was the same style as Henderson, somewhat similar or no?
No. I think. I think Henderson would have been more dangerous.
Okay.
But the guy that took the fight actually did a great job and had a near submission. He lost, which is not surprising. You know, he was a 10-1 underdog.
So the card happened.
A month late, right?
Yeah, a month late.
And who filled in?
Vitor Belfort.
And that was the most recent. That was 152,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was just
so
the past
151
weekend.
Was the one canceled.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
UFC 152.
They renamed it 152, but it, you know, and then they changed the following 152 card. So they skipped, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, they skipped one.
How long did Johnny Bones Malone Jones know he was fighting Dan Henderson? Like, when? How long did he have to prepare for that?
I think 8 weeks.
So is it unfair to a champion who had 8 weeks to prepare for a guy to study his style, to watch film? I imagine you guys watch film. To learn moves and train, and then have to only have 4 weeks to defend your title against something completely different. Is that fair, or is this one of the questions out there?
Yeah, this is the big debate, you know, because he had actually, you say 2 weeks, he actually only had 8 days. Get ready for the opponent that he was offered by the UFC.
Wow.
That was Chael Sonnen, who is a decent fighter, but an excellent promoter. Like, he would have sold that pay-per-view, you know? And he would have lost miserably.
Right.
John Jones would have killed him.
Yeah.
This guy's a natural 185er fighting a guy that is a champ at light heavyweight, but it's not just a champ at light heavyweight. They're talking about trying to move him to heavyweight.
Yeah.
Okay? So, man, he would have destroyed Chael Sonnen. And could have saved that UFC pay-per-view in the process.
Right.
And I think that's where people's gripe is, you know?
But it would have taken maybe a shot to the credibility of everything.
Yeah. Well, no, because I think it would have, if anything, I think it would have added to Johnny Jones's legacy.
Yeah.
You know, this guy's the champ, potentially, you know, one of the greatest in the sport.
Right.
When people are looking back. And, you know, they would have been able to say, hey, this guy will take a fight against anybody.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's worried about what he's going to do and not what his opponent's going to do.
So it could have been a legacy builder.
Yeah.
What you're saying.
Definitely.
How many fights does it, like a the Bones fella, how many fights does he have under his gloves?
In the UFC?
Yeah.
Not many. And that's kind of my gripe with people calling him the greatest of all time. You know, he came in super young and made a name for himself early and kind of fell in a position, and actually this is ironic, he actually got a title shot because the contender got injured. And
wow.
Then he took it on a last minute and won the belt, and he's had it ever since. You know? So that's kind of the ironic thing. Like he wasn't willing to do, you know, he wasn't willing to fight the challenger that they put in front of him on short notice, but that's how he got his belt in the first place. So I think that's one of the reasons
shady. People
are a little like, you know, cracking on him a little bit.
And who are the big names right now? Like, who are the stars?
Man, big names. You know, I think Jose Aldo will start, you know, at the lower weight classes. You know, right now, the 135 and the 125-pound division, not the biggest. But I think people start having more recognition. The average fan would be around 145. You got Jose Aldo. You know, you got Benson Henderson, George St. Pierre, Anderson Silva, and Johnny Jones, of course. Like I said, he's not necessarily the most popular, but nobody can deny his talent.
Silva, you said Silva makes the cards. Is it the same guy?
Joe Silva. He's the matchmaker, yeah.
And he's a fighter?
And Matt, no.
There's about
different
Silva. Okay. 15
Silva's like Smith in Brazil, pretty much.
Yeah. He's not the guy from the Silva Alerting Center.
No. I don't think. Maybe. I don't know. I haven't checked into that.
All right.
But it is interesting. Imagine having that job.
Yeah.
Imagine being the matchmaker for UFC. This guy's got his work cut out for him, man. And you know he talks to these guys on the cell phone. It's a ton of them, man. And he's planning cards 4 months out. We already know who's fighting in December. You know, he's got his work cut out for him.
Yeah.
I
want to know, UFC 153. Tell us what to look for.
Oh, man.
Tell us
UFC
what we're looking for.
UFC 153. Another victim of the injuries.
So we saw a pattern.
Really?
So we had a few guys get hurt. All of a sudden, our main event is Anderson Silva, the 185 pound champ, who I'm going to go out on a limb and say the majority of people do believe is the greatest we've seen so far.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable skills, and he's fighting a guy from right here in the Windy City, Stephen Bonner.
He's a Chicago guy.
He's a Chicago guy. He was training at Carlson Gracie's over on LaSalle for the longest time. He was a finalist in the first season of The Ultimate Fighter, and he fought that fight with Forrest Griffin, who many people believe really put UFC on the map and introduced it to the mainstream.
Yeah.
The fight was amazing. It was on the on the heels of this reality show, and he made a pretty big name for himself.
Middle name Patrick.
Really?
No, I just found his Wikipedia page.
You got your computer up. I got a smartphone too here, tough guy. It's
Born in Munster, Indiana. Spent a lot of time here in Chicago.
Yeah, Indiana boy, for sure. He's a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu under Carlson Gracie. He's a Chicago Golden Gloves champ.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Really durable guy. Never been knocked out. Never been submitted. Has only been beaten by decision or doctor stoppage. I think he has one or two stoppages due to cuts. Bigger guy. He usually fights at light heavyweight. Anderson Silva's a middleweight. That being said, he's a 13-1 underdog. I don't really see him beating who many people consider the greatest we've ever seen. But he's got that shot, and he loves being the underdog, you know? And, maybe his weight and his jiu-jitsu will carry him through it. I think it's going to be an awesome fight, and I think a lot of people in the city are going to be looking for it.
What are the keys to his victory? What would he have to do to win this fight,
man,
if you were training him?
If I were training him, I would say you got to get it down to the ground.
Yeah.
He has to get it down to the ground. He is also a Carlson Gracie black belt, like I said before, and Anderson Silva, a black belt in jiu-jitsu, but really hasn't shown it much in the octagon. So I really feel like Stephen Bonner, if he gets it to the ground, he can use his top control. He can to maybe grind out a decision or hit a submission. However, that's what I'd love to see him do, because he could get a win. It'd be a big upset. However, what I think is going to happen is he's going to do what he always does, come in guns blazing. He likes to move forward, throw big punches, and Anderson Silva's a counterpuncher. He's going to knock him out. I'd say probably round one.
So money's going on Silva here.
Money's on Silva. You know, money, like I said, Bonner's a 13-1 underdog. So
all right.
Now, Johnny Bones Jones
and
Bonner, separate weight classes?
No, actually, they are in the same weight class. They actually have fought before. And it took Johnny Bones Jones a judge's decision to win the fight.
Oh wow, yeah.
Yeah, so the guy's tough. He can take some punishment.
I think if they should have a rematch, and the fight shouldn't be over titles, it should be for the nickname Bones.
Because Bones is
Bonner.
Bonner actually has a nickname which I think is one of the best in the sport, because it doesn't rhyme.
Okay.
It's he's the American Psycho.
Oh, I like that.
Stephen the American Psycho Bonner. Yeah, I mean, come on.
Would I be putting you on the spot too much if we, as we wrap this up, if I asked you for the main card? I have the main card for 153.
Yeah.
Can you give me a pick'em?
Absolutely.
On the main card. So
definitely.
So let's just go with that. No Guerrera versus Herman.
Minotauro Nogueira versus Dave Herman, who's actually also from Indiana. This is Nogueira's first fight coming back after having his arm viciously broken by Frank Mir. That being said, he's one of my top all-time three favorites in the history of the sport. I got Nogueira, submission round three.
The battle of the crossroads.
What I've seen here is that you've been picking against the American flag. The last two picks.
What do you mean the last? Yeah. Oh, because I said Anderson Silva's going to win.
Yeah, no, I'm just messing with you. Glover Teixeira. I know I'm nailing these names, by the way.
And
Fabio Maldonado.
Both Brazilians.
Yeah.
Watch for Glover Teixeira to start making his way up the ranks, man. This guy's something to be looking for. He's knocking everybody out. He's a super tough guy, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu guy.
In the in a light heavyweight matchup there.
Yeah, man. Glover Teixeira, I'd say TKO round two.
Wow. That's bold.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, right out.
You got another one on your mind out of the next three, or going to wrap it up maybe with the welterweight with John Fitch versus Eric Smith?
Yeah, Eric Silva.
Yes, there
you
go.
Yeah, I got you. Eric Silva's an up-and-comer. He's coming off of two vicious knockouts, like first round, and not only first round, but, I mean, I'm talking opening minutes of the round.
Yeah.
And John Fitch is coming off of a knockout. But let me tell you something, man. John Fitch is the most underrated guy in the UFC, the most unappreciated guy in the UFC. He's a grinder. He was a walk-on at Purdue for their wrestling team, ended up becoming captain. Okay, this guy's a hard worker. And just grinding it out. You know what? I'm not going to bet against the American flag on this one. I'm saying Fitch, unanimous decision.
Beautiful.
Excellent, Cliff. Thank you so much for those picks. Thanks for the insight. I think Al and I are getting a little more knowledge.
Yeah,
on the
a little more savvy there. Well,
yeah.
Thanks a lot, guys.
I think I'm
going to
watch
it.
The next fight and see if he's hold true.
I will, too. Yeah. Where exactly, while you're here, we might as well say where we can watch this this fight, UFC 153.
Man, Trader Todd's, 3216 North Sheffield.
And how much is that cover over there, Cliff?
They don't charge cover. No cover.
Wow. No cover. We can find it over there at Trader Todd's.
Are they insane? Mostly. Have you met him?
Yeah.
All right, again, Cliff, thanks so much. Stick around.
Thank you so much, guys. I'll be here.
Maybe you could grab me a cold beverage out of the fridge if you and grab yourself one. If you had a moment.
Unsweetened iced tea.
Yeah.
Coming right up, sir.
Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate
All right, thanks
it.
Thanks a lot, guys. Hope you enjoyed it.
Thank you.
That was awesome.
Yeah,
Cliff,
was
wow.
That? Cliff Hagerman there.
I just learned so much.
I did, too.
I really did. I'm ready to watch 153. You know, I watched for a while I was bartending at the bar
mm-hmm.
When UFC was on. I was getting into it for a while. I kind of lost my feel for it.
Really?
Glad to have Cliff on.
Yeah, exciting stuff, because I've always wanted to kind of know what was going on. You know, he said, this is the nerd in me now,
uh-huh.
But you know how I like simulated sports? Like, I play my football. I play a football simulation. That's all you manage. Well, I used to have a UFC simulator where you'd pick fighters. You would pick fighters, and you would match. You would create the cards.
Wow.
It exists.
I'm very impressed, Al. You impress me every moment with some of these facts. Last week you found your action figures the other day as well.
I did. My God, how exciting, man.
Al found a box of his action figures. There's some wrestling figures in there. There's a Hulk Hogan doll. Yes, Al, what?
I chewed the hands off.
The hands have been gone for years from that Hulk Hogan
I've
doll.
Had it since I was old enough to chew hands off the doll.
You found those toys that you always wish you could find when you were a little bit older.
Well, you know what's interesting is I had this box of all these toys, and when we were kids, UFC had just kind of started, and they had the tournaments. So we took all the action figures out of there. We wrote their names down. We named all of them. We created a league, and we used to make fights up. And then we would have playing cards to pick who the winners were.
Well, that's just wonderful.
So we had a whole damn league going. So it was good to see all my old fighters back. The Hulkster's still in there.
Well, that's
He-Man's
wonderful.
He-Man's kicking some ass.
Al, the 12-year-old boy in all of us is very happy right now.
Oh, my God. It'll never go.
Right. I'm giving my old buddy a call here, Seahawk fan Wes.
All right, get this Wes guy out.
From the Pacific Northwest is where he's at. I want to hear from a Seahawks fan.
The only thing in the Pacific Northwest is fruits and nuts.
Hang on. I think we have Wes right there. There's Seahawk fan Wes. Wes, how you doing?
I'm good, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing wonderful. Just Cliff's here. He says what's up.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
What's up, Wes? Good to hear from you, man.
Good to hear you, too.
Yeah, Wesley, we just had Cliff on with the talking UFC, but now we've got to get to it. I was just wondering if maybe you happen to catch a little football Monday.
I might have caught a little something. I don't know. There was a little blurb on. It was a small thing on TV, but no big deal.
I tell you, Wes, something that wasn't caught was that ball by Golden Tate at the end.
That's a good one. No, I mean, look, I've been a diehard Seahawks fan forever, and it's like being a Cubs fan. You're wishing on something that you can never get, but no, you still keep wishing. I want the win, and I'll take the win, and give me the win. It's mine. But that was an interception. That was an interception. I will admit it, but the trophy's mine. Go away. It's mine.
All right. That's fair enough. As long as you admit it and you realize it was an interception, it's okay. Like, as a Bears fan, I'm happy. I'm happy you guys won.
No, of course. I mean, you should be. You should be thanking. The Midwest should be thanking the Pacific Northwest. So,
well, that's
great. Except for the cheese guys. But what burns me on all this is, I mean, Seahawks, no one ever pays attention to them anyways. And so this wonderful, great little last play overshadows the whole fact that in the first half that was doing all right, we had 8 sacks. I mean, no one's going to even remember that.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you about. I mean, that defensive effort has been completely overshadowed. I mean, Aaron Rodgers was looking throughout that game like Jay Cutler had the previous week against the Packers. I mean, he was on his butt the entire game.
Bulaga sucked. Both those tackles for the Packers were sucking.
Yeah, no, I mean, of course, the Packers' whole line is a Swiss cheese. But still, I mean, to get 8 sacks, that's still something against the, you know, supposedly going to the Super Bowl again type Packers. I mean, but
yeah,
it's overshadowed by that stupid call at the very end and blah, that's it.
So, do you think the Packers have been overrated this season?
Look, Aaron Rodgers is fantastic. I mean, he's up there, top 3, top 2 quarterbacks, but he's got nothing around him. I mean, it's all offense. Their D is all right, but not that great, and their offense line is just, no, I don't think it's that great. I mean, that's why he's getting killed, and he's going to keep getting killed.
I'm kind of with you. I can't say right now that the Packers are the best team in the NFC North. I really can't. I mean, the Bears haven't showed anything, but I don't know. I don't want to crown their ass just yet, to quote Denny Green.
Sure, no. And this whole season's a mess. I mean, no one expected. I mean, my division, which was supposed to be the whipping boy of the NFL. I mean, look, 3-0 Cardinals. Are you kidding me? Where, they didn't even have a quarterback till week one. They didn't decide who they were going to have throwing. And
I've
they're
seen the Cardinals
3-0
unranked in some power ranking.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's insane.
They knocked Vic on his butt. Quite a bit this weekend. Yeah.
Tough defense.
Yeah.
It hasn't been officially named yet, but what are your feelings on that? It looks like we're probably going to have NFL referees back. Looks like maybe by Sunday.
Well, if they don't, I was going to put in my application because, I mean, hell, we can't do any worse.
Yeah.
And it seems like I've been watching more football than some of these replacements.
Don't you just have to show up at the stadium on Sunday and they might draw your name out of the hat and you're in?
Yeah, no, I mean, hell, I would pay them. You know, give me floor seats for the game and give me one of those zebra-striped shirts, and I'm happy. Here's my $200. Let's go.
You know, if the NFL really cared, they'd find a couple Make-A-Wish kids and let them ref.
They would be better. I mean, put them on stilts or wagons or whatever you're going to do.
I agree. I think they would do a hell of a better job, and it would be sentimental. And let's face it, who in the NFL doesn't love a good story?
Oh, yeah, look at kids, and, you know, they would be, like, giving the poopy finger to the crowd that's booing, and it would be adorable.
So your Seattle Seahawks are going to take on a team we just beat this week, the St. Louis Rams. You're favored by 2.5. You feel pretty good about that matchup?
I do. I mean, Arizona was a surprise. San Francisco was supposed to be good, but everyone knows that St. Louis stinks. And so, and so I'm very happy about that. I'm not a big fan of Wilson. I mean, I like the kid. I just don't think he should be there. We paid Flynn all that money. Let him play. I mean, I'm not a fan of the quarterback.
How bad is he that he's not starting?
I'm not sure. I mean, Wilson looks fantastic in preseason, but everybody looks fantastic in preseason because you're not playing against the A team all the time. And somehow he beat out Flynn, which I think if Wilson puts up kind of horrible numbers like he did yesterday or last Monday on this next game, I'm screaming for Matt Flynn.
Is that what's going on out there? Is it you or is that the general feel out there? Is Wilson on notice?
No, they like the kid. He's a good kid. I mean, he hasn't done anything bad. He says all the right things. He, you know, he's a likable kid, but we're not going to win on likes. We need somebody
right.
that knows.
Let me ask you.
They gave Flynn a lot of money, didn't they?
Yeah, they gave. They gave Flynn quite a. I want to say $10 million contract. So, I don't know. I would play. I'm sorry.
Do you trust Pete Carroll as your head coach?
I'm still on the fence about him. I wasn't a fan when he came over. I don't know. I don't know.
So you're not. That's kind of how we feel about Lovey. I mean, no one's ever really ready to say we love Lovey. But I mean, you can't argue with the Seahawks being 2-1 right now, the same record as the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah. I lived in Chicago, so I've always been a big Chicago Bears fan, just because they've always been my second team. As for Lovey, I don't know what is up with Lovey. He always latches on to these guys that are horrible. I mean, he said, "Rex is our man. Rex is our man." No, he's not. Then he's gone. Now it's Cutler's our man. Cutler. No, he's not. They need to find somebody. I mean,
what?
I don't know.
What, this is.
I don't know. I'm not a Cutler fan. Sorry, guys.
You with Chelios burning jerseys in some random bar in Boys Town? It was Boys Town, wasn't it?
I was out on Lincoln Avenue around the
call. Should have been.
What?
Yeah, Chelios was burning a Cutler jersey over there. Let me tell you this. Jay Cutler gets a bad rep, Wesley. Jay Cutler gets a bad rep. He's got all the weapons in the world. He's going to be there as long as we can just shore up that left side of the line. We're going to be just fine with Mr. Jay Cutler. I know the national media, they give him a bad rep. People think that it's a joke, actually, right now.
Well, the question is, how many excuses are going to be made for Jay Cutler? He's blamed his offensive coordinators. We've been through three offensive coordinators. He hasn't had a receiver. We get Brandon Marshall. I mean, you know, it's like one thing after another, and Cutler always comes up smelling like roses. Maybe he isn't as good as we think he is.
It's Rex Grossman. It's Rex Grossman all over again, guys. I mean, same thing. We got to get Rex a better line. We got to get Rex some better receivers. We got to get the running game because Rex needs some help. And nothing happened. So
let me tell you something. This Rex Grossman was 5'4", and all he could do was throw. He was colorblind. He would throw the ball to the wrong guys. That's just how he liked to play football. And
but that guy loved some Hooter wings.
Cutler is a model quarterback with a strong arm, one of the strongest the league has to offer, and he can't handle pressure right now. Hopefully he'll mature into a quarterback who can stand there and handle the pressure and not let it get to his head.
Maybe we're looking at a mixture of Rex Grossman and Vince Young. Couldn't handle the pressure, had the talent, just fell apart.
Yeah.
Cutler. This week on the Monday night, I'm calling it right now, against the Cowboys, he's going to have his it's the coming out party, my friend. Cuddy does it again, my friends. Cuddy is going to do it this weekend. Brandon Marshall, we have a receiver. Did you see some of the catches that guy makes in the NFL?
Have.
There is an actual Chicago Bears receiver in a Bears uniform.
Yes.
How is that possible? Cutler's going to throw that ball. The national audience is going to see it this coming Monday night. You heard it here first, and I will back up my words next Wednesday night right here at the Larcher and Lawrence show.
Clarky, I want to get behind you so bad right now. I want to say you're right. I want to believe what you're saying.
Then just say it, Al.
But, man, every time. Do you remember since Jay Cutler's got here, they used to think maybe he had problems with night vision? Like, that was used to be talk on the radio. Like, oh, my God, he can't play at night.
Yeah, the diabetes.
The diabetes affect his night vision.
That's the thing.
And he can't play football during nighttime.
You know what? Next week, I'm going to call my expert diabetes guy. You know our old friend James?
James Farrell.
Yeah. Yep. Hilarious James on Twitter, actually.
Former member of the Great Comedy Accident.
I'll get him on, and we'll talk about it. And let me tell you, I think he's going to back me up. And again, next week, I'm saying it now. Al, I'm saying it right now. You can replay this next week on the show. Cuddy's going to do it.
You know, there might be some
Remind
truth.
Remind me to quit saying Cuddy.
All right, Clarky. There may be some truth to this because, you know, we used to rehearse with James usually on a Sunday around noon, 1 o'clock, and he would have these amazing rehearsals, and then we would have shows after 7 o'clock, and, you know.
Yeah, I know.
You get what I'm saying?
I'm with you.
The diabetes.
Yeah.
All right,
Al. That's maybe going far. Wesley, we thank you for the call. Thanks for giving us
Anytime, fellas.
from the Northwest there.
No problem. Anytime you need it, getting on the next foul ball, call, pass, whatever, I'll be there for you.
All right, Wes. We appreciate all your balls.
The next time I have some Ken Griffey knowledge I need to talk about, or the non-existence of an NBA. Oh, that's a low blow. I can't talk about that.
Wah, wah, yeah, yeah.
Wesley Tyler. What's, brother?
He comes with his own horn. Wow, how about that? Well, your friend Wes there, at least he was able to admit it, you know, they stole that game.
Yeah, I guess that's the one thing that I wanted to know. I also felt for him because that defense was overshadowed. They had a great game that night.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did. 8 sacks is nothing to sneeze at, even if it is the Green Bay Packers.
We're going into a tad bit of overtime here, Larcher.
A little OT?
Well, we got to talk about it. There's somebody in the middle of a playoff race here in the city of Chicago.
Right. Not the Cubs. Not the Cubs.
It is not the Cubs, but I am going to the final game of the season against guess who?
The
only team with a worse record in Major League Baseball, the Houston Astros.
Beautiful.
In what will be the Astros' last game as a member of the National League.
They get kicked out?
Yeah.
How have the Cubs not been kicked out?
Pretty much. No, the Astros have been, they were asked to move. And, in fact, they got a new stadium. It's part of the new stadium in Houston. It's part of MLB letting them have it and cutting them a good deal on it. They had to agree to switch to the American League.
Well, what does the American League get?
They get the Houston Astros.
And what does the National League get?
They don't get anything. This evens it out at 15 teams in each league.
Oh.
But then it makes it odd, so there's always going to be an interleague game.
Before we get to the Sox talk, can I bring something up to you?
Bring it up, Al.
I heard this on the radio today. I'm a big fan. You know, when I listen to my sports, usually it's on the score, 670 here in Chicago. And Dan McNeil of the McNeil and Spieg show, he was talking today about baseball, and he said the thing that he thinks would solve the problem in baseball, and I happen to agree with him on this, instead of playing the 475 games they play per year, what if they cut it down to 95 games? Could you get behind this?
Cutting baseball down to 95
cutting
games?
Cutting it basically a three-month sport that basically it ends right as football starts.
Yeah.
Because right now baseball's struggling. Nobody watches. The Sox are one of the greatest teams in the history of baseball.
I wouldn't go that far.
And there's 7 people in the stands every night.
Yeah, there's nobody going to those games.
No. You think I'm exaggerating?
And nobody's going to the Cubs games anymore either, which is just blows me away.
It's about time.
I didn't think that we'd see the end of this for a long time. But I'm glad it's happening because my issue with the Cubs, I'm going to go on my quick little Cubs rant here. My issue with the Cubs is that they don't have to put a good product on the field, Al.
Right.
You know that, because they're always going to sell Wrigley Field.
It's a bar.
Wrigleyville, Wrigley Field sells. I'm not sure. That's fine. But
does that make you angry? It's a bar.
Yeah, I think that now that people are going to the games, maybe they're going to get the product on the field. And this whole field thing, I said, it's a 3 to 5 year project. We got a little time. It's just going to take a little time. In the meantime, we have this football taking us through, or for you fans of the South Side, we can talk a little White Sox baseball.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the thing is, Clark, we're only 3 weeks into the NFL, and what do you care more about? You care about the Sox, who potentially could be world champions, or do you care about the Bears, who are 3 weeks into a season?
I care about Bears.
And you're not alone in saying that. I mean, I think even hardcore Sox fans would agree with that because they're probably hardcore Bear fans as well. And I think Dan McNeil has a great point there. If you cut the season down to, say, 95 games, the games become more relevant. I can't get into baseball because there's 475 games a year.
Yeah, yeah.
And they play every single day.
162.
Sometimes they play.
They get a couple breaks. Maybe
I'm not joking here. They play twice a day sometimes.
Sometimes they do.
My God.
Let's play two. The great Ernie Banks said it, Al.
I love football, but if you throw two Bears games back-to-back, I'm falling asleep through one of them.
Fair enough. In that exciting game of baseball, currently White Sox and Cleveland are tied at 4 in the top of the 6th inning.
I know, and I'm a little worried about the Bears game. I'm predicting doom and gloom. Last week, you and I, we both said the Cubs had the Sox had what a 2-3 game lead,
yeah.
And we said that something isn't right, something is broken, and it's the pitching is more
exactly.
than anything.
Yeah.
But
Now
here we are at 0.
Detroit.
All right, so
got a win to stay even.
So Detroit's a game up now, pending a Sox game.
That's got to be true.
Wow, that's depressing.
We both said it, man. We both did.
Yeah, and not just us. I mean, if you're from out of town, if you're like this kid out in Wesley in Seattle, if you're him, you might not know what's going on here. You might think we're all behind the Sox and everybody's happy and everybody's excited, but it's not true. I mean, Sox fans are kind of – all year we've been waiting for the ball to drop. We've been waiting for disaster, for destruction,
yeah,
for lightning to strike, for the ballpark to come down, for riots to happen, and it hasn't. It's been baseball. Baseball as usual.
That's very true. Yep.
Deep thoughts by Clark Lawrence.
That's all I had there, Al. It was just a.
Pondering.
What's that?
What were you pondering?
I was
there?
Pondering.
You looked to be. Deep
I thought
thought
that maybe we were wrong earlier, but no, we are correct in the fact that Detroit is up by a half a game.
Half game.
With the outcome, still awaiting the outcome of the Sox.
Gotcha.
Indians game tonight.
So, that's tonight?
Yeah, it's happening right now.
Oh, yeah, last time I checked, it was still the 4th.
Tied at 4-4 in the 6th.
Ah, here it's a dragging, a slow, slow game.
Well, that's how baseball is.
And there's another reason why we need 95 games.
In all these weeks that we've had here, I have to say that I've really appreciated working with you tonight, my friend.
Thank you.
We haven't had a chance to get to the Bulls much this season yet. We will be getting there next week. That is a guarantee. I promise it. Derrick Rose has really shown a lot of character here this last couple of weeks. Don't know if you've seen it in the news, but I think that kid is a stand-up guy and a stand-up athlete.
Let me guess. You got a friend from Lombard who's a Bears, is a Bulls expert who's going to be coming on.
No, I don't have an expert on right now. I'll find somebody.
I will find somebody.
Our guy, Cliff Hagerman, was here with us tonight. Al, I got to say it was a pleasure working with you here.
Yeah. Are you trying to wrap this thing up? Is that what
I was thinking? What were you thinking?
Well, I wanted to go back to the cleaning lady and my earlier issue.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we'd just like to thank you for listening to the Larcher and Lawrenson Sports Show tonight. It's week 3 of the Sports Show, and I think we finally hit our stride. That is Clark's weekly wrap-up.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I just started that today, Al.
That's good. It's kind of like we used to do the other radio show, which I think we'll probably get back to at some point with Comedy Accident.
Yeah.
And you had your little thought of the day, which really was never much of a thought.
Well, there were some thoughts involved.
Yeah, some people might have thought of it. Yeah. I kept trying to get that cut from the show, but nobody would listen to me.
All right, folks. Thank you so much for listening to the Larcher and Lawrenson Show. Find us on the Twitter at Larcher Lawrenson, on the Facebook at facebook.com/LarcherLawrenson. And as you know, we are here on Blog Talk Radio every Wednesday night coming at you at 8:30. Al Larcher, thanks so much.
I'm your esteemed sports journalist, Al Larcher, saying good night for Clark Lawrenson and all the fans.